We're going to have you go to the book of the Revelation. I'm going to have you look at four different portions of Scripture in Revelation. And we'll read these four different portions of Scriptures. Let's just do one after another. We'll start in Revelation chapter 9, verse 20. And then I'll direct you from there in chronological order down to these through these four portions of Scripture. Now, I want to go ahead and have you look, since we're going to all four of these now, we'll reference all of them, go back and look at all of them before the message is over. But I want you to notice the word sorcery or sorceries. That's very key to the message tonight. Sorceries or sorcery, as we look at these four places in Revelation, the book of Revelation, beginning in chapter number 9. So let's all stand for the reading of God's word, Revelation chapter number 9. And we will begin in verse number 20, Revelation chapter number 9 and verse number 20. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk, neither repented they of their murders nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Now let's go to Revelation chapter 18. Revelation chapter number 18 and verse number 23. Revelation 18 and verse number 23. And this portion of Scripture gives a heaven view of Babylon. And it tells us some information about this city that will come into prominence during the tribulation period. Verse number 23, and the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of the prophets and of the saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. Now, Revelation chapter 21. Verse number 7 and verse number 8, Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 7 and 8. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Then Revelation chapter 22 and verse number 12, Revelation chapter 22 and verse number 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work, as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates of the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for what we're going to look at tonight. And I pray, Lord, as the preacher blows the trumpet, dear God, as he gives a little bit of warning tonight, that it would be heeded. I pray, Lord, that we would be aware of one of the devices that the devil is using in these, the last of the last days. And dear God, to prepare the world to be taken over, to accept the Antichrist. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us just to be alerted to this danger. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. There are other places in the Bible where the word sorcery or sorcerers are found. All through some places in the Old Testament, some places in the New Testament. I've selected these four specific locations for a very important reason that I'll explain to you in just a minute. Let me first of all say this. I don't know. I lose track of time. But I'm going to say 3 or 4 years ago, it was maybe longer than that. Time gets away from me. But I had spent a week very, very sick. I mean, my system was messed up. My stomach was messed up. I could hardly eat anything. I felt sick all the time. And I didn't really understand what was going on, but I had a problem. Matter of fact, I think one of the few times in the last 19 years that I've been here, blessed, probably maybe the only time that I've ever been sick enough to not be able to come to church on a Sunday morning. I was that ill. And I told Cheryl, tried to come, got ready, was trying to come, and absolutely was just too ill to get to the vehicle and to go. And I told her, you go ahead, I'll be fine. Well, I got worse. She came to church and did what she should do. She turned her cell phone off while I was home having a near-death experience. She was enjoying worshiping the Lord. I was writhing in the floor in total agony and pain. But it got so bad that I tried to call her. Tried to call her cell phone. Of course, it went to voicemail. And I kept getting sicker and sicker and more pain. And I finally said this. Being a man, this is what men do. This is why we need wives to take care of us. But I said, I'll just drive myself to the hospital. And so I got my little blue truck, and it's a stick shift. And every time I'd put the clutch in a shift, it would just kill me. But, you know, by this time, I'm committed. I'm going to get to the hospital, and I'm going to Terre Haute. And so I got all the way to Stuckey's and realized I can't make it to Terre Haute. I can't make it. I better turn around and go home. Then this little voice told me, hey, stupid, you're over halfway there. You might as well keep going. And literally, I am hanging on to the wheel. And I mean, literally, driving about 45 miles an hour and just trying to get to Regional Hospital. So I pull in the emergency room, park. I walk up, literally doubled over, walked into and looked at the lady and said, I need to see somebody. And she looked into my eyes. And usually they say, okay, here's the forms. Go over there and set. 3 days later, you get called back, you know, that type of thing. She stood up and said, you need to come with me. Well, I didn't realize what was going on with me. But what had happened was my gallbladder was causing me problems, and it was producing gallstones, debris, that had come into my system and then got into the little ductwork that goes between my intestines and my pancreas, and that had clogged up. Well, you can talk to Brother Frank about this. He knows this all about this, more knows more than I about it, but that is not good. What it had actually done was It was shutting down my system, and my eyes had gone jaundice. I didn't even realize that the nurse, when she looked at me, she saw that my eyes were yellow. I'd gone jaundice. And I went to the emergency room, and I saw a doctor. And by the time church got out, I got a hold of Cheryl. She came up, and the emergency doctor came in, and he was an encouragement. He sits down, emergency doctor, okay? They've taken a blood test. They've looked at a couple things. He sits down and he says, Mr. Ross, I want to be very honest with you. What we're probably looking at here is pancreatic cancer. You probably have pancreatic cancer. You'll probably have to go immediately from this hospital all the straight to Indianapolis. And I want you to know it's not a good good. And I'm just... So I said, okay, stop. Like that, because I look over at my wife, he's terrifying my wife. And I said, sir, do you know this for sure? And he said, well, no. And I said, then I don't want you to say another word about it. You take the test that you need to take, and let's find out what is exactly wrong, and then we'll talk about things. And he said, well, okay. Seemed a little offended, but he said, okay, and he kind of left. But they took tests, but I wasn't going to find out till the next day, the next morning, what the results of those tests are. Now, that's a lonely night in the hospital when you're sitting there thinking the last guy I talked to is telling me I may not be able to ever go home, I've got to go straight up there, and that there's not a whole lot they can do. And so the next day, the specialist came in, who had come in, looked at the test results, walked in the surgeon. And he walked in, his name was Murray, and he used to practice in Terre Haute, he's not there anymore, and he walked in and he got his little Sharpie and he started writing on the dry eraser board, and he started diagramming what's wrong with me and telling me what he's going to do. And I finally, after about 2 minutes, said, Doc, stop. He turned and looked at me, and I said, let's settle something first. Because the last doctor I talked to was talking about cancer and me going straight to Indianapolis, and that Dr. Murray looked at me and rolled his eyes and said this word, idiot. That's what He said, let me put you at ease. That is not what's wrong with you. I'm going to explain to you what is wrong with you. And then being a surgeon, and by the way, a good surgeon, most good surgeons are arrogant, especially lost surgeons. He said, I'm going to tell you what's wrong with you, and then let me tell you what I'm going to do, Mr. Ross. I'm going to save your life. And I thought to myself, you know what? My life is in the hands of Almighty God. And if God says it's over. If God says it continues, but that's all right. So he drew the diagram and told me what happened. He said, I'm going to do two procedures. We're going to do one this afternoon. I'm going to go down through your throat. I'm going to go in there delicately, and we're going to try to get the debris out of that duct. He said, by the way, that needs to go right. That's critical. He said, if that goes well, then we're going to have surgery in the morning. We're going to take your gallbladder out so it stops spilling debris out, and that will take care of your problem. He said, I feel like you'll be okay. The next day, that afternoon, he did the procedure, and he got the debris out, and he got all that cleared up. My pancreas began to work properly again, and thank God for that. That's the critical. That's the life or death right there. And then he went back in, and many of you have had gallbladder surgery. I had the wimpy kind, you know, where they only make three little incisions and come in, all right? Some of you had it back in the old days where, oh my goodness sakes, we won't even talk about what they had to do to get your gallbladder out. Not a pleasant experience. Now, I said all that to say this. Look at this. Listen, I want you to understand that when I talk about the things I'm going to talk about, your pastor's not a nut. I'm not anti-doctors. I'm not anti-medicines. If it were not for the medical advances that have been made over the last 75 years, I would be in a cemetery right now. And so I'm very, very thankful. Imagine, because folks used to be, that diagnosis, they couldn't have done what he did 75 years ago. They would have just watched the person die and had a funeral, and that had been the end of their life. So I don't want you to ever get it in your mind. You know, sometimes we get a group of Christians get way over here, and if they're not careful, you know what? If you go see a doctor, it's because you have a lack of faith. You're not supposed to take any medicines, and there's some extreme views in this area, and I'm not of that group. But I do think that mankind has produced some medicines that we need to be alerted to. There are some drugs, most illegal, but a growing number of them that are legal, that do not just affect the body and help the body and cure problems, but affect the mind of a person. You say, preacher, how do you know that's true? Well, you can watch almost any or most drug advertisements. And by the way, they're the ones that got the money, so they're the ones that take the high money slots in the evening news and the sporting events. You're going to have to hear about it. And they tell you for a few seconds about the benefits of this drug. And then for the remainder of the minute and a half commercial, they have to go through a list of all of the possible things that could be side effects of that drug. Now, most medications, folks, have some type of side effects, and most of the time they're physical side effects, and that's just part of it. It's just a trade-off. And you know what? You have to weigh and balance that. Is what's wrong with me is important enough where I need the medication to solve this, and then I would rather deal with the side effect, and if it's physical, that's fine. But how many drug advertisements begin to deal in the realm of the mental, and I would even say the spiritual realm, and begin, listen, if they're telling you, by the way, if you take this, you may have thoughts of suicide. You may have thoughts of committing violence. You may go through depression. And when it begins to be, watch this, here's the key word for tonight. When you begin to take mind-altering drugs, which I think are not just mind-altering, I think they alter other things. I think that Christians need to be very, very careful. I don't care if it is a doctor. I don't care what doc says. I think I'd check into it. I think I would be very careful in taking mind-altering drugs. And say, preacher, where do you get the basis of this? Now, I'm going to show you this in the scriptures. All of the other places that you'll find in the Bible that mention sorcery or sorcerers or sorceries, those three words, come from a different root word than these four words in the book of Revelation. When you find these four words, they're only found in the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. And the root word of the four references to sorcery, the root word is a Greek word and it's pronounced this way, pharmakeios. Now, folks, if you say the word pharmakeios, what's the word that comes to your mind? Pharmacy. And it is the same root word that we get our root word pharmacy. Now watch this. You say, well, what is the Greek definition of that word? Pharmakeios is translated thus in the Greek, a drug or spell-giving potion. A druggist or pharmacist, it literally has it there, pharmacist, watch this, or poisoner, i.e. by extension, a magician or sorcerer. Okay. Me and Cheryl, when we went down this last January, actually, down into Mexico, we spent some time with Mike and Lydia Lima. Almost every place we went in Zacatecas, where there was some type of a shopping area, Lydia or Mike would stop at some point and almost quietly, almost secretly, point out a little stand where they were selling all types of different drugs, herbs, all kinds of those, I mean hundreds of them. And they would say to me, preacher, do you know what that place is? And I would say, no. That is where witches, that is where people go that still practice witchcraft and buy those things for the purpose of casting spells on other individuals. Now, folks, if you'll do a little study of history of Satanism, and Satanism is disguised in a lot of third world country false religions, but if you get past the surface, you know what it is? It's demonology. It's Satanism. Most of them use some type of mind-altering drugs in their worship ceremonies. Now, I'm going to say this in a few minutes, but I believe with all my heart, watch this, and you'll see it connected strongly in the scripture here, that God is warning us about something in the book of Revelation. That God is telling us that in these last days, you know what? One of the ways that the Antichrist is going to be able to persuade people and achieve dominion on this earth is through sorcery. Not the type of sorcery that's spoken of in the book of Acts that Paul had to deal with, but a new kind of sorcery that revolves around the use of mind-altering drugs. Now, look, folks, listen to me. They're not going to be introduced the day after the rapture. They have already infiltrated our culture, both illegal, and that's the way it was for some time, but now more and more legal. We see now that up near 20 states have already okayed the use of marijuana for what they would call medicinal purposes. What are they saying? They're saying this mind-altering drug, we're going to start moving it over here and using it as a medicine. Now, folks, listen to me. I want to blow the trumpet on this because some of the illegal drugs, there's pressure to bring over here into legality, but there's many things that are already legal that are as dangerous or more lethal than what marijuana is right now. And we've got to be careful what we put into the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. And so when we see these, I want to look at these four places in the Bible. I want to talk to you a little bit about them. I want to glean from the Scripture some of the things that this portion of Scripture or these references are going to teach us. I'm going to give you five truths tonight that we'll draw right from the Scriptures. Number one, watch this, folks. Drug abuse will be a key to the reign of the Antichrist. Isn't it interesting that all four of the references where sorcery is equated with drug use is found in the book of the Revelation? Now, in the last of the last days, these things are being introduced. You know what, folks? Drugs, mind-altering drugs, are being used now to control and to manipulate mentally, emotionally, and behaviorally a large portion of our population even now today. Some of the drugs you'll be shocked about that are being used in this. So number one, we see that all of these references are taking place during the tribulation period. But folks, listen to me. Like I said before, the Antichrist isn't going to come and open up a drugstore and start the process. It's already going on. Okay, when did it start, preacher? When did it start become prominent, at least in the United States of America? Those of you that have lived, you know, my age and older are very familiar with the idea of the drug culture that began in strength and became accepted during the 1960s. Now that's very key, because I'm going to tell you, you know, this 40 biggest issues of the past 40 years, we're seeing it within the near boundaries of the history of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. When drugs began to become used recreationally, illegal, mind-altering drugs, it helped change an entire culture. And it opened up a generation to the ideas that some things are acceptable that mom and dad would have never in a million years thought was acceptable. How were they manipulated? How did they get their minds changed? They got them changed because they were using drugs. Now, folks, it's hard to find. I'm talking about politician. I'm talking about Hollywood person. I'm talking about anybody famous. I mean, you know what? They joke about it. If you can remember the 60s, then I don't know where you were. And I mean, we had an entire generation that just bought into this. And so the foundation's already been laid. And it's going to be key in the reign of the Antichrist. You think about this. All of these plagues, and those of you that are in our Sunday school class, that's more fresh on your mind. But you get all of these, the seven seals, and then the seven trumpets, and the seven vials. And, you know, all of those horrific things. What is the world doing right now to escape its problems? Yeah, they're taking drugs. Well, what are they going to do then? Because you talk about problems. You talk about a level of, what are they going to do? You know what? Somebody's going to come along and say, here, you know what? This will help you. This will help you. This will help you. And by the way, many doctors are doing it right now. Now, I do want you to look up here and listen to me. I, like I said, am for legitimate medication that is for physical needs that you need. But I'm telling you, this whole idea that you're going to find the peace that passeth all understanding, that is supposed to come through prayer at the throne of grace, that you're going to find that in a pill is a lie of the devil. It's a lie of the devil. You would probably be shocked if you knew the percentage of Christian people that are on some behavior-altering, mind-altering drugs. Well, I got to take an order to cope. Wait a minute. I don't find that in the Word of God. You've got a God that's bigger than that. Excuse me. You've got a God bigger than that. Okay, and there's a danger. Stay with me, okay? Don't turn me off. Drug abuse will be a key to the reign of the Antichrist. Number two, drug abuse by definition is linked with demonic influence. Now, let me read this definition again. It's important that you understand this. I'm going to make a statement in a minute. Stay with me. But when we say this, when we define this Greek word thus, a drug or spell-giving potion, a druggist or pharmacist or poisoner, by extension, a magician or a sorcerer, you are bringing the occult and marrying it to the idea of mind-altering drug abuse. Now listen, if you use mind-altering or behavior-altering drugs, you are opening doors of satanic influence into your mind and into your life. If you're giving them to your children, you are opening doors of satanic influence into their minds and into their life. Okay? Oh, but the doctor said, folks, listen to me. There's a lot of lost worldly doctors that do not even believe in Almighty God, let alone respect the Scriptures. And we need to be careful that we don't just say, because somebody writes a prescription and you need to take this, that you do not say, okay. Listen, I don't know about you, but that's pretty important what goes in the temple of God. Okay? And I'm going to find out what I'm putting in the temple of God. Now stay with me here. You know what? By definition, drug abuse is linked with demonic influence. I've got so many things here, and there's just more research than we've got time tonight that I want to do. I want to tell you something. One of the most interesting things that I read, and I picked up a used copy of this book, and I've got it at home, and I forgot to bring it. But I got on the internet and I downloaded the basis of the story. But I read a report on a book that was written by Stephen King. Now, this isn't one of his novels. It was a book on writing. Okay, so since I read a lot of books about writing, I'd read that he wrote a book on writing. And I found it cut rate on sale, so I picked up a copy of it because of what I heard was in it. And this is interesting. Now, Stephen King novels, let me just help you, all right? Look right up here. If you're buying them things and you're reading them things or things that are anything like them, you need to go home and put them in a pile and burn them. Now, if you read a Stephen King novel, I'm going to tell you something. You know what? You're not going to tell me that the devil wasn't a part of what was putting down on that page. Now, here's what's interesting about his book on writing, okay? He begins to explain, and what it is basically a book written to other writers that will teach them the way that he writes or the tools of his trade. This is what he says in one of the opening chapters. I wish I could speak to the writing process of the first 35 novels that I wrote. However, I can't speak to that process. Because, by the way, I'm talking about books like Carrie. I'm talking about books like The Shining. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The first 35 books he wrote, he was so high on booze and cocaine and heroin that he doesn't even remember writing them. Now, let me tell you what happened. You need to understand this. He got high on drugs and it opened doors of demonic influence. He sat in front of the typewriter, and you know what? All Stephen King's novels are given by inspiration of Satan and are unprofitable. By the way, read any of them. I mean, read a summarization of any of them. Watch this. Every single one of them blatantly attacks Christianity. Every single one of them, the key character that is the biggest idiot in the book is a born-again Christian. Every one of them mocks the existence of God. This man wrote these novels. And by the way, the devil, if you'll sell your soul to him, he'll make you successful. And I think that's what Stephen King did. Sold his soul to the devil so he could be successful. And he hyped himself up on drugs and opened up demonic influence, and I believe that demons helped him write every one of those books. You say, well, he was successful. He made a lot of money. Well, I don't know about success. Let's find out where he was when he was 40 years of age. As the tall, thin man in his mid-40s lay unconscious on the floor of his office, his eyes shut tight and his shirt front soaked with blood, the silence of the night all around him was broken only by the shrieks of the bats which haunted the rafters of his vast Victorian mansion. The scene was like something out of a novel by the master writer Stephen King. Ironic, given the comatose figure was none other than King himself, dead to the world after drinking countless cans of beer, snorting so much cocaine that his ravaged nose had become a gushing crimson fountain. Shocking though his condition was, this was no one-off. Writing 63 books over 35 years with the best-selling stories as Carrie, The Shining, Misery, The Green Mile turned into blockbuster movies. King has long been one of the most successful authors with an estimated fortune over $200 million. But where is he? Where is he? Okay? I mean, the paramedics are coming in trying to save his life. Where is he? He's noted so much cork that his cocaine that his shirt is covered with blood, as it bursts the blood vessels. Listen to me. There's no way in the world. And by the way, this is one of, how many illustrations do you want? Where when somebody gets on drugs, all of a sudden they are open to demonic influence. And if you get on mind-altering, behavior-altering drugs, you are opening doors of satanic influence into your life. Okay, stay with me here. Let's talk about the 1960s and 70s. Come on, some of you old fogies like me, all right? What else was being written during those wonderful two decades? It wasn't just books. Oh, you think? And that was being written by people after they'd gone to church and spent a couple days reading their Bible and made sure they were filled with the Holy Ghost, right? No, almost, watch this. The large percentage, I mean the vast percentage of music, of songs that were written in the 1960s, 1970s were written by people that were composing under the influence of booze. Or I'm sorry, of mind-altering, behavior-altering drugs mixed with alcohol. And let me just stop and say this. Okay, watch this. The demonic connection isn't just with cocaine, heroin, LSD. Let me tell you, I just mentioned booze. You know the biggest drug that's the most abused drug in the United States of America is alcohol. You say, are you going to tell me there's a connection between booze and alcohol? Folks, listen to me. Back when America had sense, you know what they called alcoholic beverages? Spirits. By the way, you drive right over to Brazil, Indiana. It's still there because I seen an ad for it in a paper the other day. But I remember as a little kid, mom and dad, take us to Kroger. Wasn't it Kroger that was right there? And dad would take us there. Hook's drugstore on one, you'd go into Hook's one door, and then was it Kroger the other direction? And if you know where I'm talking about, you come in on 59, right before you meet 40 on the right-hand side. And by the way, we'd sit out in the parking lot sometimes and wait as they ran in to get something, and we'd always look over at a little white building. All right, right beside the Hook's drugstore. And it was a little white building, and it was a liquor store. And you know what the name of it was? House of Spirits. And by the way, it even had House of Spirits, and then it had three little ghost-like figures right by, I mean, folks, blatant. Now you listen to me. Oh, there ain't nothing wrong with social drinking. You know what? I've been on the internet, and I've read where good Christians have said, let me tell you something. You put a drop of alcohol in your mouth, and you're putting in a drug that is going to open you up to satanic influence. They used to call the moonshiners. What were they doing out in the hills? They were distilling spirits. Okay? Now you're not going to involve yourself in drinking or in drug abuse where it all, by the way, alcohol alters your mind and alters your behavior. So it is a mind-altering, behavior-altering drug, the most abused drug in the United States of America. And you'll do things under the influence of alcohol, like tithe. and go soul winning. And buy groceries for widow ladies. No, you know what you'll do? You'll do what the devil tells you to do. Okay. And now we preached a whole message on booze, but you know what, folks? Booze needs to be brought right back into the conversation. I'm so sick of compromise. I'm so sick and tired. So-called Christians want to argue with independent fundamental Baptists that the idea that it's okay to drink, it's all okay. No, it's not. Well, as long as you're not a drunkard, if you just know, it's not. Well, I don't abuse it. I'm not given to it. Well, then just take a little LSD and just take a little cocaine and just take. By the way, that's where you're going. That's what you'll justify next. And so it's amazing, folks. This has infiltrated Christianity. Now watch this. I decided I'd Google this and just Google the idea of the connection of drug use in the writing of rock and roll songs. Now this is what's crazy. I didn't open very many of these threads because, you know, after one or two, you're just about done. But this is what's crazy. This is not an article written by some Christian magazine warning about the connection between rock music and drugs. This is called the 15, by the way, they took a poll, the 15 of the most popular rock songs inspired by drugs. Now see, you got to vote for the top 15. Okay, how about this? White Rabbit by Jefferson Airplane, 1967. Purple Haze by Jimi Hendrix, 1967. Heroin, a song by called Heroin by Velvet Underground, 1967. Jumping Jack Flash by the Rolling Stones, 1968. Folks, listen to me. You can just about take any song from 1965 to 1980 and just put it on the list. Okay. Now listen to me. You better do your homework. More and more, again, Christians are wanting to defend the idea that there's nothing wrong with listening to rock music. Yeah, there is. Let me tell you something. The rock and roll music crowd is connected with the drug industry, and it's connected, and you'll always find it goes back to demonic influence. And read the words. Satan always gets his message through. Okay? Fire and Rain by James Taylor, 1969. Casey Jones by the Grateful Dead, 1970. That Smell by Lynyrd Skynyrd. Talking about smoking coke, crack cane, that smell. Hotel California by the Eagles, 1977. Running to Stand Still by U2, 1987. Mr. Brownstone by Guns N' Roses. By the way, Guns N' Roses also came out with a song called Drug, Sex, and Rock and Roll. The Red Hot Chili Peppers, 1972, Under the Bridge. Morning Glory by Oasis, 1995. Semi-Charmed Life by Third Blind Eye, 1997. Black Balloon by the Goo Goo Dolls, 1998. And that's just their top 15. There, you can get as long a list as you want. Now, what I'm saying is this. Watch this. Something happened in the 1960s, folks. Look right up here. Okay, we went from Leave It to Beaver right to the devil in about 15 years. What happened? Okay. The devil launched an attack against the American culture. And he got a generation to buy into the idea that you can take recreational drugs to help you forget your problems and help you get through the day, and it will make you more creative. By the way, this is what they'll tell you. I'm more creative when I'm on drugs. Oh, is it you that's creative? I sat in an apartment right here in Jasonville and had a man that had smoked marijuana for years confess to it and tell me, "Preacher, you don't understand. The things that I can think of and the thoughts that I have when I'm on marijuana, I could never have without them." And I looked at him and I said, "Do you think these thoughts or do you hear them? Do you think these thoughts or do you hear them?" He blinked about 7 or 8 times and looked at me. And I knew the answer to that question. What you've done is you have altered your mind. You are opening portals. You are opening doors of satanic influence. Now, if you want to go home and you want to buy groups, rock and roll music, you want to sit there and listen to the messages that were pinned down while people were under the influence of drugs and alcohol, therefore open to satanic influence, and you want to defend that, you go ahead. But we ought to be wiser than that. All right. So let's move on. Well, there's so much. Drug abuse will be a key to the reign of the Antichrist. Number 2, drug abuse by definition is linked with demonic influence. Boy, I got so much on that. Number 3, drug abuse is linked in the Bible. By the way, I'm going to have you go back and look at this. It's linked in the Bible to 3 sins, specific sins. Homicide or murder, fornication, and theft. Homicide or murder, fornication, or theft. Now, I want you to look back, if you will, to Revelation chapter 9 there. Revelation chapter 9, if you're handy there. And let's just review these real quickly. Revelation chapter 9 and verse number 20. The rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works, Revelation 9:20, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship what? Wow, wonder what gave them that idea. Wonder what opened the door. Why was it easy for them to begin to worship devils and idols of gold, silver, and brass, and stone? By the way, folks, you know why God's so adamantly against idolatry? Because you ought to do the research on the gods that those idols represent. They're all connected to Satan.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And of wood, which neither can see, nor hear, nor walk, neither repented they of, watch this, here it is, murders, nor of the sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Isn't that interesting? Murders, fornication, and thefts. Right in the middle of that, sorceries. Now, folks, you just, come on. I mean, if you read the paper, if you're aware of anything that's been going on for the last 40 years, you find out where these sins are being committed, and I'll show you where there's booze or drugs. Booze and drugs are the driving force in our culture behind these 3 sins. You begin to open yourself up to these. You begin to partake of these things. And you know what? You'd be shocked at what you're capable of. Drug abuse is linked to murder. It's linked to fornication. And it's linked to theft. I mentioned this on the radio when I did the series on drug abuse on our radio program. I'm ahead on the radio program. And I'm behind on Sunday nights. So if you listen to the radio, you're getting some preview of this. But watch this. Let me find the right thing here. Wow. Brother Kemp sent me this. He sent it to me January of this year. Brother Kemp doesn't send me much, but he sent me this. Some people send me too much. Brother Kemp doesn't send me one. But he said, someone sent this to me, and I thought you might find it interesting. Now, folks, listen to me. I have here, and I didn't count them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. All right, approximately 50 on that page, so I'm gonna estimate 70, 75. Different school shootings or school acts of violence that's taken place since 1998. Now, this concerns us. It better concern you.
Yes,
say, preacher, what in the world would possess somebody, whether it's a student or an outsider, to go into a school and commit violence against little children? There's not a one of us that got any sense that would say the devil has to be involved in that somewhere along the line. Now watch this. You know what our politicians say we need to do to stop this? We need to take everybody's guns away. But what's interesting is this. Every single one of these, and by the way, you can click on them individually and read the individual stories, and there's documentation. Every single one of these people that committed some act of violence or murder in school was under the influence of legal, mind-altering, behavior-altering drugs. Every one of them. Why isn't our president standing up with this list? Why isn't he warning America that, you know why? Because he's in the pocket, like most of the politicians, not just him, he's in the pocket of the pharmaceutical companies. Being taken care of by the drug lords, legal drug lords. I'm talking about this. I'm talking about 2008 in Illinois. 6 dead, 15 wounded. Perpetrator was in withdrawal from medications and acted erratically. 10 dead in Minnesota, 7 wounded. Dosage increased 1 week before rampage. 14-year-old girl shoots and wounds classmate at a Catholic school. It tells the drug that she's on, prescribed drug, antidepressant. I'm not going to name the drugs because with the internet now, I really just don't want lawsuits. So you can look at them later if you want to. 14-year-old kills middle school student, drugs. On an antidepressant. 15-year-old shoots 2 teachers, killing one, then kills himself. Again, a very popular antidepressant that most of you would recognize the name of. 16 dead, including shooter, antidepressant use, shooter in treatment for depression. 17-year-old with sword holds 20 children and a teacher hostage on medicine for depression. 18-year-old plots Columbine school attack, meds for depression. Columbine, 15 dead, 24 wounded, the 2 different antidepressants that the young men were on. 8 dead, 15 wounded, assailant had taken 10 times normal dose of depression meds. 4 dead, 20 injured, again, another very popular antidepressant. Girl 15 stabs 2 girls in school restroom. 1 puts 1 in critical condition, medication for behavior problems. Man assaults girl, kills 1 himself, antidepressants. Man commits murder during clinical trial for, gives the name of the drug. Same drug, by the way, that was used in Columbine, by the murderers there in Columbine. Man with gun inside school holds principal hostage, withdrawing off of an antidepressant. Listen, you want 75 of them? Every single one of these acts of violence, every single one of these things that were carried out in our schools in America, was every single perpetrator was on mind-altering, behavior-altering drugs. Now, you know what? We need to take a look at this. You say, well, no one would do that unless they were possessed. Huh? You think? Well, how did the devil get a foothold in their life? I'll tell you what. Watch this. I'm gonna say some things. Somebody's going to leave mad, but that's good. You know, if somebody don't leave from an independent fundamental Baptist church mad every once in a while, preacher's not doing his job. Let me tell you why. Because instead of tanning the little kid's hide, when the teacher says he won't behave in class, we got to run him to a doctor and a psychologist and fill him full of medications. All right? Amen. Amen. You say, preacher, but there ain't very many kids on that stuff. Okay, let's read this. Radical increase in kids prescribed to, and again, very popular drug that starts with an R. More than a decade after a national scandal regarding the overprescription of this drug and similar drugs to millions of American children diagnosed with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. You know what that's called? That's called, we used to call it ants in your pants. That was the official medical term when I was a kid. And if you couldn't control the ants in your pants, there was a principal that had a paddle that would help settle those ants down a little bit. In fact, he went right after the seat of the problem. And then after that, you felt led to control the ants in your pants. Come on, Grandma and Grandpa wasn't confused by this. Great-grandma and Grandpa wasn't confused by all of this. An astounding 19% of high school boys ages 14 through 17 in the U.S. have been diagnosed with ADHD. 19%, one in every five boys. Baloney. Baloney! Cha-ching, cha-ching. The love of money is the root of all. What's the next word? Evil. That connects to Satan. Stay with me. Come on now. 10% of the girls. College, one out of every 10 girls, two out of every 10 boys. Now, folks, listen to me. This is insanity. I'm telling you, it's insanity. I have been involved, and by the way, this information is very sacred. I never share it, but I've been involved for 19 years in enrolling people in Blessed Hope Baptist School. You know one of the first questions I've got to ask every time somebody brings somebody into school when we have the initial meeting? Is your child on any type of medication, drugs, for behavioral problems? You'd be shocked. You'd be shocked, the people that looked at me, dropped their head, looked up, and said, well, yeah. And you know what I'll tell them? You need to get them off of them if you're going to put them into school. Folks, I cannot educate, and neither can the public school, a bunch of drug-induced zombies. It's one thing to be mentally dulled by the drugs. It's another thing to open portals.
Yes, sir.
Yep, that's right. Okay. All right. Are you listening to me? Are you getting this? Now watch this, folks. I'm telling you, an entire generation is growing up. I mean, from the time they were sent to school to the time they graduate, drug affected in drug-induced comatose state, and we look at the, why are so many kids all of a sudden declaring that they're atheist? Why are they drawn to satanic activity? Why are the most popular video games that come out have the occult all the way through? What, is this all this just some big coincidence? Or is there the prince and power of the air that's orchestrating the takeover of what used to be a Christian nation? Okay. Now, drug abuse has been linked to homicide. Drug abuse is linked to fornication. Folks, listen to me. The 1960s drug culture produced the sexual revolution. Okay. That's not a coincidence. Murder. Look at the murder statistics from 1960 to 1980, folks. It didn't just grow a little bit. It exploded. Theft. They tell me now that most of burglaries, most of the things that are stolen nowadays is stolen by somebody that's trying to get their next fix of drugs. Talked to a local sheriff here several years ago, and he said, pointed back to the jail, and he said 90% of them are in there, for drug-related activity. And by that I mean they either got caught with drugs or they were trying to steal something so they could buy drugs. 90% of everybody that's in that jail cell right over there. So folks, isn't it amazing how the Bible just nails it? Drug abuse linked to homicide, fornication, theft. Those sins will be rampant. Let me quickly finish. Drug abuse is linked to mental manipulation. Now we read in Revelation chapter number 18. Let's have you slip back over there and just look at this real quick. I want to drive this home to you. Revelation chapter number 18, verse 23. Revelation 18, verse number 23. Notice what it says about these inhabitants of Babylon. And the light of the candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. And by thy sorceries were what? All nations deceived. Why are we pumping in mind-altering drugs into our educational system? Because then we can stand up and bring the religion of humanism, and in their drug-induced state, with the doors and portals that have been opened to satanic influence, all of a sudden an entire culture sits there and nods and accepts the brainwashing. You know, folks, listen to me. People on that aren't on drugs can actually think for themselves. People, you know why they don't like us Christians? Because we won't get involved in that nonsense. Because when they stand up there and they spew forth nonsense, we'll say, they don't want, they want, really? Wow. That dude's got it, man. That's what they want. That's what they want. Drug abuse is, you see, some people ask, it's interesting. Isn't it interesting that this comes up? People say all the time, preacher, how in the world can some man appear on the scene and deceive the entire nations through sorceries? You get on this stuff and you are open to mind manipulation. And humanism has found root in the heart of an entire culture because we have first drugged them and then we've brainwashed them. Okay, says the same thing. Revelation 22:15, same thing. Let me give you the last thought. We got to quit here. Drug abuse will play a huge part in populating hell. Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and who? Sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Revelation 22:8, by the way, links lying with sorcery. You know why? Because if you can get them drugged, you can get them to believe the lie. Folks, do you think drug abuse is happening in the universities of America today? Rampant. By the way, where did Obama get his votes? Who bought the lies? That's a group that was easily lied to and easily manipulated. Come on. All right. Come on. I mean, I was born in 1961 and I'm 52. It's just not university age kids. Pretty soon, we're not going to have a generation that wasn't involved in the drug industry. And those that had enough decency not to get involved with illegal drugs are all of a sudden in their mind starting to okay the involvement of legal drugs that alter the mind and open portals and doors of satanic influence. Now, folks, listen to me. I hope you got this big picture. I hope you got the overview of this because this is scary. I mean, when you really put all of the stuff in front of you, and by the way, once you know this, watch this. You're gonna hear stories and you're gonna hear things on the news, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit's gonna say, see. You're gonna read the newspaper and you're gonna go, good night. Because this is one of the key ways the devil is preparing the world to be taken over by the Antichrist. Now, again, am I against doctors? No, I'm not. I thank God for doctors. You know, that arrogant surgeon, God did let him save my life. Thank God for it. I'm glad there was a hospital I could barely drive to. I'm glad there's somebody that knew what to do. But I want, and I'm not against. Listen, if you're taking things for physical issues, and sometimes they have physical, you know, what's the word, side effects. Okay, I understand that. You're going to have to weigh the balance. You're going to fail it. But watch this stuff. Parents, listen to me. Your kids don't need drugs. They don't need to be on drugs. No, they were diagnosed by doctor. Okay, Dr. So-and-so gets a kickback from the pharmacy company to get these kids on the drugs. Look at me. I know what I'm talking about. Okay, he's not worried about the best interest of your child. He's working about padding his bank account. There's no way in the world that 2 out of every 10 young men have a problem where they need behavior, mind-altering drugs. There's no way in the world. That's insanity. There's no way in the world one out of 10 girls need to be on drugs. So you've been educated and helped. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would use this to help us to be aware of the devices of the devil. He's very good at what he's doing. And Lord, more and more, the tools of his trade, those weapons that he uses, is being accepted in society. Politicians are standing up. And they're rooting. They're suggesting that America's begin to legalize illegal, mind-altering, behavior-altering drugs. Help us, Lord. Help us. I'm beginning not to recognize the country that I grew up in, God. I don't recognize it. I can't imagine people that are sitting here 70, 80 years old that saw America in the 1940s and 50s and now look at it. I can't imagine what they must feel or what they must think. Lord, I was raised up in the midst of a cultural takeover, but still some of the things that so-called responsible leaders are standing up and telling us we need not fear. It's fine. We need to accept. God, help us. I pray that our young people have been warned. I pray, dear God, adults have been helped. And Lord, may we stand straight. May we stand right on these things. We pray these things in Jesus' name.